You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each week, we're talking to you about the Montreal Canadiens and keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. Yes, even during the playoffs, especially during the playoffs. It's been a wild week so far, and I think there's more to come. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show for episode 397. Of Canadiens Connection, this week's show titled What's Working and What Isn't for the Montreal Canadiens versus Tampa. And we are going to dive into that very shortly. That would be me and my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. What a wild, wild week of overtime much.
Indeed it was. But after a Friday night home win for the Montreal Canadiens, everything sunny in Montreal, sunny day, 14, 15 degrees, everybody with a smile on their face, and can't wait until the game on game four, that would be on Sunday night.
If you just have an itch that you need to scratch for more really exciting hockey, may I invite all of you to tune in to game four for the Flyers versus Penguins on Saturday night.
That's been a series.
That has been quite a series. That is good old rivalry hockey. It's been beautiful.
And a kind of surprise, at least it was surprising for me, a 3-0 as we record, Flyers up 3-0.
In the series. Stuart Skinner getting yanked.
Well, that's not a surprise to anybody.
No. Artur Silov's going to play game four.
All right.
Facing elimination.
Kings also down 3-0 to Colorado. Yeah. Ottawa in trouble.
Ottawa's going to be playing. They're going to start their game while we're recording here this afternoon. They're in a lot of trouble.
Carolina up 3-0 in that series.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about the Canadiens and, of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's right. So before we dig into it, let's just give you a little preview of what you can expect on today's show. In our first segment, obviously, we have our week in review. And, we're going to get some recapping of the first three games of this series. The highlights, the lowlights, and everything in between. Rick has selected his three stars for this week. We'll see if maybe you can guess who they might be. We've got some roster news for you, as well as a prospect report, because the playoffs continue in the CHL. The playoffs have begun in the AHL. So we'll get you caught up on Habs prospects playing in other leagues, as well as some general hockey notes from around the NHL. Then in our second segment, we're going to tackle our big topic, which is the Montreal Canadiens' keys to the series. What's working so far? And so what we're going to do, if you listened to last week's show, we outlined a number of items that the Canadiens would need to do if they were going to beat Tampa Bay in this series. And so we're sort of going to revisit each of those things now that we're three games in and say, okay, well, what things are working that they needed to do and what's still not working? And take a look at what the Canadians have done well and what needs to improve if they're going to continue to hold this lead in the series and go on to win it. So lots to review, and there's a lot to get into with that. So I think it's going to be a really fun, big topic in our second segment. And then, of course, finally, in our third segment, we let you have your say. We'll have a Canadians Connection question of the week for you. It's where we ask you a question related to this week's big topic that we encourage you to send in your responses to. We put them all together, read all of them. And then we pick out the best ones to read on the following week's show. So we're going to let you have your say by reading some good responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. And, you know, during the week, if you pay attention on our YouTube channel on the posts tab, you will see sometimes we post polls, which is another way to have your say about the Montreal Canadiens. And we had a couple of them this week that we want to bring you some results on. It's going to be a fun show. So let's get into it. Let's talk about some playoff hockey for the Montreal Canadiens. Of course, it all started last Sunday in Tampa Bay, Montreal visiting Tampa Bay. It was pretty exciting. It's a very exciting game for Juraj Slafkovský, I can tell you that. But the whole series kicked off with an overtime game and, of course, Montreal winning it 4-3 in extra minutes.
This was all about special teams. And you mentioned Juraj Slafkovský, a hat trick in this game, all three goals coming on the power play, including a winner, the overtime winner. The Canadians, Tampa took some bad penalties, four offensive zone penalties, Canadians 3-for-5 on the power play. And the other goal was scored by, and in fact, it was the series opening goal by Josh Anderson, who flips a switch and becomes somebody completely...
he's a completely different player in the playoffs.
Yeah, and just a menace on the ice. That is, if you're the opposition team, physically, and his ability to score. He almost had a second goal in this game. Mm-hmm. And on the opposite side, given the Canadiens' fits, was Brandon Hagel. He scored twice for the Lightning. Close game, but this one it was Juraj Slafkovský, and I should mention Jakub Dobish was stellar in this.
Yeah.
He's the rookie up against the veteran, and big saves. He quieted the Tampa crowd when things got a little heated in his crease. He skated away. He did everything right in this game. The Canadians, beyond that that top line, that second line, Alex Newhook, for some reason, is really struggling at the faceoff dot, just 29%, and that second line wasn't generating a whole lot in this game at all. But Juraj Slafkovský, obviously, he was the star of this one, and he got to appear on a TNT interview
after the game. Yeah,
after the game, he was clearly nervous in this.
Yeah, he was. Oh my gosh, I'm talking to Henrik Lundqvist,
yeah,
and Paul Bissonnette, and I, you know, it's
and nationwide rather than I think he was pleased. But he was pretty nervous.
Yeah. Which was, you know, it was kind of nice to see. Nice to see a little couple of nerves kick in there. So Canadians, riding high, come out with a win in game one. Fabulous. Game two takes place again in Tampa Bay on Tuesday night. For the second consecutive game, it goes to overtime. This time, Montreal, not so fortunate. Tampa Bay coming out on top of this one to even the series at one apiece with a 3-2 final score for Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And the Canadians were in this. The Canadians were definitely in this right up until the end. Lane Hudson played 32 minutes in this one. He had 6 shots on goal. He scored the Canadians' power play goal. And he, near the end of the game, had an opportunity to finish it. Remember Scott Sabourin inserted into the lineup, mm-hmm. mostly as a response to I mentioned Josh Anderson, to take care of Anderson. Well, for some reason, he was on the ice with less than 2 minutes to go. For some reason, he took down Josh Anderson from behind, mm-hmm. went to the penalty box, and with 34 seconds left, Lane Hudson took the shot and rang it off the post, with Sabourin looking on from the penalty box. That could have sealed it for Montreal. Josh Anderson was effective in this game as well, scored his second goal of the series. But on the other side, Hagel was also very effective. He got his 3rd goal of the season. And, you know, if Yuri Slavkovsky was feeling pretty good about himself for scoring the hat trick, getting the TNT interview, maybe his confidence was juiced a bit and thought, hey, I'm not an experienced fighter, but I can take on Brandon Hagel. Well, that ended quickly as Hagel KO'd Slavkovsky, which of course energized the bench, energized the Tampa crowd. Not a good decision by Slavkovsky there. He seemed rattled. It was with the Tampa tying goal. It was a Slavkovsky giveaway. He just wasn't himself in this one. And then the Canadians weren't themselves in overtime. Tampa outshot Montreal 9-0. JJ Moser got the overtime goal, and we all know what happened because it's been repeated over and over and over again about Kirby Doc. And fair criticism, Kirby Doc, it's a lazy icing call.
Yeah.
And he failed to cover Moser in the overtime. Unfortunate. Hagel was celebrating his goal, his victory. He taunted the Canadiens bench. After the game, he said, "We taught them a hockey lesson." Mm. And so far, Marty St. Louis hasn't figured out a game plan to deal with Hagel. For his part, I thought Jakub Dobish was brilliant. 31 saves. He was named third star in the visiting building, so that's an accomplishment all its own. But after that game, obviously, the series tied 1-1.
So that meant that it then switched and shifted to Montreal. Friday night's Game 3, series tied at 1 apiece. The Bell Centre and the city of Montreal absolutely electrified. 21,000 fans inside the Bell Centre, another couple thousand out on Avenue des Canadiens, watching 2 big screens out there, just hyped. It was fantastic. And, well, you know, give the fans as much hockey as they can take. Why not go to overtime for a 3rd consecutive game? Montreal, though, coming out big. Getting it done quickly in overtime to take a 2-1 series lead and give them and their fans a victory on home ice.
Yeah, the Montreal Canadiens said that they made room for 2,500 fans outside the Bell Centre. I'd say there was a few more than they counted on. It had the opening ceremonies, Yvon Cornoyer, bringing out the torch, presenting the torch, and then...
Gee, it was nice to see that torch.
It was nice to see the torch. Somebody changed their mind in the upper management, respecting the tradition. That was nice to see. And this was Marty St. Louis made a couple of changes in this game, but maybe not the changes that many in the media were calling for. Media later blamed that on trolls and fans and that sort of thing. But it was most of the media that were calling for Kirby Dach to come out of the lineup. He did not. Instead, Marty St. Louis created a new fourth line. These guys had played together all of 55 seconds in the regular season. but they were the last chance crew. They were the crew that was going to have to play with some urgency because none of them, whether it be Dach, whether it be Texier, whether it be Bolduc, had performed that well in the playoffs up until that point. Mm-hmm. So they were playing for their teammates. They were playing for the fans, but they were playing for their spot in the lineup.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about that. And to their credit, the three of them came through. You know, Texier had gone no goals in the previous 13 games. And Dach, we know, the last 14 games or so of the regular season, he went without a goal. And this line came together and, certainly energized the fans. And, it was Texier that opened the scoring from Bolduc and Dach, early within the first 5 minutes of the first period. And it was, Kirby Dach with a goal and assist getting the second star of this particular game. But the first star, Lane Hutson, he was unbelievable. Played 32 minutes, had 6 shots on goal. Maybe that's out of character for Lane Hutson, who prefers to be the setup guy. But his blast, and talk about uncharacteristic, his slap shot in overtime was the deciding game winner. He was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I think that we'll talk about the three stars when we get to it. Canadians, not all great news. That top line keeps they're struggling. They're struggling, and the Canadians had 3 full breakaways by guys that you want to be on the breakaway. Demidov, Caulfield, and Anderson, and not one of them made a good attempt. No. Caulfield fanned on his shot. Anderson kind of stick-handled himself out of an opportunity, and Demidov fired it right at Vasilevsky. So, It was a game of a mixed bag again, I think you'd have to say. Not for Brandon Hagel, though. He scored his 4th goal of the series, has a goal in every game, 5 points total. But Lane Hutson being the overtime hero. And he said after the game, that might have been my first slap shot of the season.
And he said, I'm glad it's a good thing it went in.
and a reporter said, wait, didn't you score on a slap shot the game before? And people laughed. And Lane said, well, if you want to get technical about it, it was a one-timer, which was very funny. Very, very funny. Yeah. Jaden Struble said that between the third period and overtime, that Lane Hutson told him, I think I'm going to score. Jaden Struble said, go for it. Coach Cooper of Tampa said that game 3 was their worst. And he would know best, I suppose. But Canadians happy to take their second victory of the series in a 2-1 lead in this series.
Definitely. I don't think it should be any surprise to anyone that for your 3 stars this week, you've chosen Lane Hutson as your first star.
Consistently good in every game, averaging over 29 minutes a game, as a game winner, as I said, the overtime winner, Two goals, one assist, 3 points. But his he's the best defensive defenseman on the Canadiens in this series in the first three games by far. Mm-hmm. He's been great at both ends of the rink.
You've got the goaltender Jakub Dobish with the second star of the week.
Well, Jakub Dobish, lots of in the pre-series forecasts, they were talking about a huge mismatch between Vasilevskiy and Dobish. And I'd say that Dobish has done just fine, thank you very much, with his two wins. He's played really well in each game.
And rounding out your three stars of the week, Josh Anderson with the third star.
Mr. Playoffs, two goals, two points.
Can he play like this during the regular season?
I don't think...
Might be a little tired by the end of the...
His body wouldn't take it for 82 games, but he has been... he's been scoring, but more importantly, he's been a wrecking ball out there.
Yeah. You do have an honorable mention this week for Juraj Slafkovský.
Juraj Slafkovský, and he's not higher than that because that line is doing virtually nothing 5-on-5, but they were able to cash in on the power play at least early in the series. The power plays dried up after some Cooper adjustments, but... he gets the honorable mention.
So through three games in their round one series, the Montreal Canadiens leading the Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 in the best of seven series. Game four, Sunday night. Roster news. The Canadiens had an optional Saturday morning at the Bell Center. It doesn't really sound like many people took the option.
No, the Canadiens said that there was a dozen players on the ice, but those included most of the extras. As far as the players who played on Friday night, just four players out of that lineup were on for the optional. Lane Hutson, of course he's going to be there. Zach Boldyk, Oliver Kapanen, and Jakub Dobish.
Okay, I like that. So the line, aside from the fact that there's a new look for the fourth line, which also meant that Kapanen and Demidov kind of went back together. That was kind of the byproduct of that, right?
Yeah. And I think in terms of ice time and in terms of Marty St. Louis wanting a checking line, that veteran line, the Deneau, Anderson, Evans line, became the second line, more or less, in terms of usage. Kapanen and Demidov, they played 77 games together. They had obvious chemistry. Marty trying to experiment with some different lines broke them up, and neither of them looked very good after that. So with Newhook really struggling at the faceoff circle, the line of Kapanen, Demidov, and Newhook were brought back together, and that became the Canadiens' third line. And then that ended up with the redemption line, the last chance line, whatever you want to call them. Doc at center, where he feels more comfortable with Boldyk and Texier.
Okay. We did see in game three, we saw Adam Engstrom take warm-ups. But he did not. He has not been inserted into the lineup.
Yeah, just out there taking the warm up, just in case there was any injury or something cropped up during warm ups. But the same six defensemen: Matheson, Carrier, Gouley, Hudson, and Struble, Jacky have played all three games.
All right. Let's move away from the NHL for just a moment and check in on the Habs prospects who are still playing hockey.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
So first up, the CHL playoffs continue. The OHL is...
that should be round three.
Currently in round three, yeah. Owen Protz, of course, the defenseman who plays for the Brantford Bulldogs. That series is tied 1-1 against Barrie.
Yeah, and Owen Protz, 3 points so far, plus six, three assists in the eight games he's played in the playoffs. Brantford, probably favored in this series, but so far, as you said, series tied 1-1.
In the WHL, they are also in round three. Bryce Pickford, the defenseman for the Medicine Hat Tigers, they are currently trailing Prince Albert 1-0 in round three.
Pickford doing well, 10 points in 10 playoff games so far.
So good luck to Owen Protz and Bryce Pickford as they continue their playoff run. The Laval Rocket gets some time off just a little bit. They rounded out their regular season in the AHL last weekend with two games in Toronto. They dropped both of them against the Marlies. They had a 4-3 loss to the Marlies last Saturday. To their credit, they were down 4-0 after two periods and did manage to get three goals on the board in the third period, but couldn't make the complete comeback.
Kaapo Kähkönen, my goodness, is he struggling. My goodness.
Yeah.
Only faced 14 shots. Laval outshot the Marlies 38-14 in this game, but Kähkönen allowed four, only made 10 saves in this game. Shots were 18-1 for Laval in that third period.
Yeah. So Sunday, they got to do it all over again, and Toronto trounced them again. Marlies with a 4-2 victory over Laval. That was Hunter Shepherd in net this time. Vincent Rohrer made his AHL debut, and it wasn't too shabby.
Two-point debut, and he fit real nicely with Owen Beck. Rohrer got a shorthanded goal. So did Owen Beck have a shorthanded goal in this one, and Vincent Rohrer assisted on Beck's goal. So, a very successful debut.
Definitely. Now, why is this significant, these two losses to end the season against the Toronto Marlies? Well, Laval finished the regular season with 90 points, the first overall in the North Division, eighth overall in the AHL. So that means that since they are first in the division, they get a bye, in the first round, which is the best of three play-in round. So they're waiting to find out who their opponent is going to be for the divisional series. That divisional semifinal, which is a best of five, is either going to be Rochester or Toronto. Rochester, Toronto are tied 1-1. But as I say, why was this last weekend significant? Well, they dropped their last two games against the Marlies, and they might be playing them for the division semifinals. We just have to wait to see.
They're going to have to get some goaltending in the playoffs.
Definitely. The Trois Rivières Lions, they are done. They bid adieu to their fans, not making the playoffs as we knew was going to happen. Finish out the season with 77 points in 72 games played. Finished with a ranking of fifth in the North Division, 16th overall in the ECHL.
Just out of the playoffs.
Just out of the playoffs. They coming off of a Kelly Cup championship season last year. I'm sure it was a disappointment, but hopefully they can get back on track next season. A couple of quick notes just around the NHL in general. Two of them about Utah, because, you know, Utah continues to make a splash. They are the newest franchise in the league, and they're in the playoffs this season. They just hosted their very first ever franchise playoff home game on Friday night at the Delta Center. And it was exciting. They won. They beat the Vegas Golden Knights and gave their fans in their first ever playoff game a victory, which is great. Also gave a bunch of their fans a victory pregame as well, because kudos to Ryan Smith, their owner, who continues to just come up with really genuinely cool things to do for that fan base and that region. This time, there was a jersey exchange opportunity before the game. And the Utah Mammoth put it out there and said, hey, if any of you fans of ours are coming to the game, and you used to be a Vegas Golden Knights fan, and you
and they had, just to add to it, they had research that before Utah came into the league, a good portion of the folks in Salt Lake City who followed the NHL were fans of Vegas.
Because it's sort of geographically,
it's probably the closest.
Probably. Yeah. So they said, if you were a Vegas Golden Knights fan before and you have a Vegas Golden Knights jersey, bring it with you to the game, hand it in to us, and we'll give you a Utah Mammoth jersey. And over 1,000 people showed up to do that. Mm-hmm. The video is incredible of just, there was a line at one point, 700 people deep, all with Vegas Golden Knight jerseys in their hands, waiting to chuck it into a big cardboard bin and get a Utah Mammoth jersey. What an incredible...
Great idea.
Great idea. Love it. They just continue to do great things. They're also going to do great things on New Year's Eve this year, because they are going to host the NHL Winter Classic on New Year's Eve.
I think this is a great idea as well. And Gary Bettman made the announcement that at the University of Utah in Salt Lake on New Year's Eve, the Utah Mammoth will host a division rival, being Colorado Avalanche. So what a great game that will be. Mm-hmm. And for the Winter Classic to take place New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. That should be a very fun one to watch. Finally, just out of the NHLPA, on the Players Tribune on Thursday, Cole Caufield had an article this week titled, "Can Someone Get My Old Man a Canadiens Hat?"
And it's not clickbait. It's an intriguing title, but the article is fascinating, and it basically goes through a lot of it is about Cole Caufield's dad, but he talks about his journey essentially from minor hockey, growing up in Wisconsin, and you know, because they were kind of in the middle of nowhere when it came to tournaments, hockey tournaments for young kids. It meant long car rides with his dad. And that his dad would be playing 80s music and would be using these grippers to build up forearms. And he had all kinds of techniques and stories to tell his sons. And how his connection with his dad and, you know, his dad manage the local rink and all of that. And then the story kind of jumps ahead to when, to 2021, when, Cole Caufield is called up, by the Montreal Canadiens, and he's super star struck and he's in the, warm-ups. He's just too excited, so he just rips a shot that goes right off of Carey Price's mask. And one of the veterans, he didn't say who, but there was, you know, there was a number of them at that time, whether it had been Weber or Eric Staal or Corey Perry, or one of them came over and said, "Hey, kid, Don't ever do that again. He said for his part, Carey didn't get mad at it, and Carey was just kind of unflappable. But he said for the next however long Carey Price was there, that he went five hole on every shot that he shot at Carey. But then he jumps ahead, these being milestones he was touching on, and he gets back to him and his relationship with his dad, and his dad being in the stands at the Bell Center when Cole Caufield scored his 50th goal. And he said he kind of joked with his brother that it was this viral clip going around of his dad and tears in his eyes because of his son's 50th goal. And that, yeah, there's his dad in a quarter zip and a Milwaukee Brewers hat. And so it goes back to the title of Can Someone Get My Old Man a Canadiens Hat? Yeah. So before game three, it was Yuppie that came around, found Paul Caufield, Cole's dad, and presented him with three new Canadiens hats. Interesting thing is that Brock Cole's brother was there videoing everything. And the article on NHL.com said, and there was Cole. Of course, Cole was getting ready for the game, but the two of them, Cole and Brock, look so much alike that the writer was easily confused, I suppose.
Yes.
But a nice background story for Cole Caulfield.
Love it. If you have a chance to read it, definitely do so. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. Happy news. Our wonderful friends and sponsors, DraftKings, are back. And they are back with a brand new incentive and some new features. If you haven't been paying attention, if you play on DraftKings and you do any sportsbook betting on DraftKings, there might be some features, just some automatic things that they're doing that you might not have even noticed about. You're going to want to check this out. There is an incentive just for our listeners in the message that's coming up in just a few seconds here. So check that out. Sign up. Use the promo code. And when we come back, we are going to tackle our big topic of this week, the Montreal Canadiens' keys to the series. What's working so far? You are not going to want to miss it. Let's get into the playoffs. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
No sport flips faster than hockey. One power play, a goalie pulled with 2 minutes left, and everything changes. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for that kind of chaos, with live betting from puck drop to the final buzzer. And DraftKings has your back with early exit protection. If you place a pre-game player prop bet, and your player starts the game but leaves in the first period due to injury and doesn't return, you'll get your bet back in cash. No bonus bets, no opt-in, just real protection when injuries happen early. New sportsbook customers bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN so you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson, and I am joined here in the studio by our president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. If you are on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, and you'd like to follow at Rocket Sports, that would be a very good idea. It is our hub. That account is, it's Rick's account, but it's the hub of all of the information of everything that we do here at Rocket Sports. As well, if you'd like to follow this podcast, you can do that on X as well. The podcast's handle is at Habs Connection. It's the same one, at Habs Connection on X, on Facebook, and on Instagram. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, just hit subscribe. However you are currently listening to this episode, just look down at the player. There should be a subscribe button or word or something, depending on the player you're listening through. Just tap that so that you're subscribed to the podcast. You'll get a notification every single week. You won't ever miss an episode. Same thing goes if you're on YouTube over at Canadians, insidethecanadians.com. That's our YouTube channel. Hit subscribe while you're over there as well. So last week, we spent a lot of time breaking down what the Canadians would need to do to have a chance to win in this series against Tampa Bay. And now that we've got three games to work with, Montreal's up 2-1 in the series. And it feels like a perfect opportunity to kind of go back to those key areas and basically kind of see how they're holding up, the things that they needed to do to be successful in this series. And in some spots, you can definitely point to some things that are clearly working, but there are definitely some areas where, you know, a little shaky, margins a little thin. So the question, once you examine those things, which is what we're going to do, the question then kind of becomes, how much of the things that they are doing well is sustainable over the rest of the series? And can the Canadians and or Marty St. Louis correct the weaknesses that still aren't really up to par if they're going to be successful? And Rick, I'll kind of, let's start the conversation by asking you this. When you look at this series for the Canadians through the lens of what we talked about last week, let's start with a positive. What stands out to you as the biggest reason the Canadians are up 2-1 in the series right now?
Well, that's the most difficult thing. I mean, this is a chess match, and it's not static. So when the Canadians are successful, for example, in game one on the power play, and you can check that off the box. Well, the Canadians are the special teams. Yeah, we got to check. No, you can't do that.
No.
Because that right away, John Cooper is going to counter. And this is, yeah, the margins are so thin. Most difficult series to predict, this being quite a mixed bag. And I think, you know, you'll hear it said different ways. I've heard it from scouts, heard it from players, heard it from coaches, that playoff success hinges on the execution of details. Some people say on the execution of small details. But it's the team that pays attention to all those details. You know, it was just, a backhand pass from the board that Yaroslav Slavkovsky never does. He just doesn't do. And it was a blind giveaway that led to a goal. So it's executing small details and doing that consistently. And then adjusting, and I used the word nimble a couple of times in last week's podcast, being nimble enough to make changes to address what the other team is doing. This is always in flux. So the list that we came up with last week, it was kind of, if the Canadians do this, then they can be successful. Then they can win this series. Mm-hmm. And there was six or seven things on that list. And one of the comments was, whoa, that's quite a list. They don't have to do all that. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do. It is a tall task, but moving on in the playoffs and beating a team as good, as playoff tempered as the Tampa Bay Lightning requires the Canadians to do most, if not all, of those things.
Definitely. So we're going to kind of audit them and take stock of the Canadians through three games and figure out what they're doing well, whether it's sustainable, and what they need to work on. And the first thing that we said they were going to need to do was that the Canadians' top line would need to lead the offense. And I think we can clearly say that's not happening.
No. And it's not, I mean, it's not just us that are saying that. You look at Yaroslav Slavkovsky, he has a blog on the NHL Slovakia site. And this week, there was a quote in the article that he wrote saying, quote, "It's important that our line with Nick and Cole sets the tone and plays the right way every time we're on the ice. We want to be an example for others. We want to decide games. We want to bring energy, strength, and technique." Now, did their line settle game one? Did they decide game one? Yeah, they did, but not 5-on-5. It was well on the power play. Well, they need to be successful on the power play, and that line is going to essentially makes up the bulk of the first wave of the power play. So yes, but 5-on-5, they haven't been getting it done. And they're not even generating shots 5-on-5.
Cole Caulfield is not shooting the puck.
He's not. And Cole Caulfield has said, quote, "We expect more from ourselves." I think that his teammates expect more from him. Marty St. Louis said that he's got a couple of tricks up his sleeve that he might have to pull out to get them going, but he's going to hold those for now. Marty said, quote, "They have some tough matchups. I'm trying to help them, but I'm comfortable with who they're facing, and I'm confident that they'll respond." So who are they facing? The Anthony Cirelli line with Hagel and Gensel. And, everyone said, including Marty St. Louis, that would change once they got back to Montreal and Marty was able to control the matchups, and Marty would be able to get the Suzuki line away from the Cirelli line. But John Cooper didn't allow that to happen. You saw the start of the game. Tampa has to announce their lineup first. So it was the Yanni Gourde line that was out there with Paul and Gergensen. And so Marty countered with the top line. And as soon as the faceoff was taken, that line headed to the bench and the Cirelli line came on. And it was like that most of the game, that Cooper pulled whatever line was on and sent out the Cirelli line against the Suzuki line. And they've been very, very successful against not only shutting them down offensively, but we saw Hagel just floor Slavkovsky with that single punch. There was no reason Slavkovsky, I get it. He was feeling a little confident, cocky, but there was no reason with his inexperience in fighting that he should have taken that fight. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have find ways to contribute, especially Cole Caulfield.
Now, kind of a subset of that point, that the Canadiens' top line must lead their offense, which, as we just talked about, that's not been the case so far. Kind of a subset of that was that the Canadiens' depth forwards would also need to contribute. And this has been, I don't want to say a pleasant surprise, but if there was anything that I thought might struggle a little bit, it was going to be that, and that hasn't necessarily been the case.
Yeah, the first two games, I'd say the Anderson, Evans, Deneau line, they've been solid, both defensively and getting opportunities. Anderson, as we talked about earlier, has brought his level of his game to up and into the playoffs. And all Cooper could do to respond was to bring up a guy who, is a AHL, NHL tweener in Scott Sabourin. So that line has been very good. We talked about the last chance line, the redemption line in Doc Bolduc and Textier. Doc going to the center position, he feels it's more natural for him. That line, Kirby Doc making the big mistake. He called it a big mistake. He said on game two, "I made a big mistake. I wanted to show up for my teammates and the fans when we got home." So that line, which was the fourth line, that's a depth line. Mm-hmm. And it was the best line in game three. And even, you know, Alex Newhook has really struggled in terms of generating offense, in terms of the faceoff dot. Oliver Kapanen in game one was very good. I thought he had a solid game. Demidov is trying, but he, you know, he with Texier, there was nothing happening there. And so maybe now being reunited with Kapanen, that Demidov will be able to get unlocked. And with Kapanen being able to help, his faceoff percentage in the playoffs has been very good, and he can help Newhook in that way. So I think as far as the depth, the Canadians are in a good position so far.
All right. So the second point we discussed last week was that in order for the Canadians to be successful in this series is that they must match Tampa's physicality. And I'll say that they've done that, but stay disciplined. And they haven't done that.
Yeah, it's a tough chore, particularly when
it's hard to do.
Well, it's Tampa who is initiating all the scrums after the whistle. And Tampa just running roughshod over the rule book, I would say.
A little bit.
But let's talk about the physicality first. If you're counting hits, well, the Canadians, when you look at the stats, they are credited with 121 hits in three games. That's sixth in the playoffs. And that's more than what Tampa's generated with 109 hits. Tampa is counting on being able to intimidate the Habs. And they were the most penalized team in the regular season. Handy that they were also the third best penalty killing team, so it didn't hurt them very much. But in the playoffs, to me anyway, they seem to have this philosophy that if they commit 10 offenses per period, that the refs will be bold enough to call two or three of them, mm-hmm. and they'll get away with seven or eight of them. Because, I don't know how many Kucherov could have been called for. They've had too many men on the ice, penalties that have been over. They've had so many penalties that, and I guess the refs can't think that, you know, they have to be this game management nonsense and they have to keep the penalties even and they can't be slowing the game down by raising their arm every few minutes. So Tampa is just...
Taking advantage of that.
Yeah, real big advantage of that.
So the Canadians need to work on staying out of the box. Sometimes when it comes to the physicality stuff, that's not going to necessarily be avoidable. You know, we've seen Josh Anderson's been bleeding, Phil Deneau's been bleeding. Obviously, it's a physical series. The avoidable penalties need to come down. Demidov had a dumb high sticking penalty on Friday night, you know, little things like that. One of the other things that we said last week that the Canadians were going to need to do was that the Canadians' defense was going to need to compensate for the loss of Noah Dobson. Noah Dobson out with injury for now. We don't know when he's going to be back, when he's going to be available to play. And the defense was going to have to compensate for losing basically one of their best defensemen. I think they've kind of done that.
Yeah, it's going to get more difficult as the series goes along. And, you know, I'd be shocked if Noah Dobson appeared in this series at all.
Yeah.
I think he'll miss this series. And Noah Dobson, the second best Canadiens defenseman. Carrier has... let's be honest, Alex Carrier didn't have a very good season. I think he's been better in the playoffs than he was in the season. He's making up for some of the lost shot blocks that Noah Dobson led the team led the NHL in shot blocking. So he's providing a little of that. Arbizhac has been a revelation. Talk about playing better than the regular season. He's been very good in limited minutes, and I know they're sheltering him somewhat, but he's been very, very good, and Struble's been pretty good as well. Mike Matheson, he's had some troubles on the penalty kill. He was a turnover machine in game three. Lane Hutson, I can't say enough about Lane Hutson. Offense, of course, but he's also been the Canadiens' best defensive defenseman. He's been blocking shots. He's been playing penalty kill. He's been retrieving pucks. He's put his stick in the lane to disrupt passes. Overall, Lane Hutson has been the Canadiens' best defenseman and their biggest reason for making up somewhat what they're missing with the absence of Noah Dobson.
We also said for the Canadiens to win this series, they were going to need to win something else, and that was the battle of the special teams. Now, Canadiens' power play in this short three games in this series has been like a tale of two cities.
It was
phenomenal in game one, and then it's just like tumbleweed through a Western ghost town.
The power play scored four goals in the first two games, three in the first game. That was all by the first unit. And then John Cooper made adjustments. Most of his adjustments is ratcheting up the pressure, and in particular, the pressure on Lane Hutson. Remember, the Lightning had the third best penalty kill in the regular season. Canadiens, their penalty kill has been better in the playoffs than the regular season. So are they winning the special teams battle? Well, it's been up and down. Depends on the night. I guess you'd have to say they still have some work to do, and they have to get their power play on track, especially with Tampa taking so many penalties.
Yeah, definitely. Another key was that Jakub Dobiš was going to have to match the performance of Andrei Vasilevskiy. And I'm going to go ahead and say that he hasn't done that because, frankly, I think that he has been performing better than Andrei Vasilevskiy, surprisingly.
Yeah, I think all the analysts, they said that with respect to this head-to-head battle, that it was going to be a mismatch. Vasilevskiy had experience. He's probably going to win the Vezina caliber season. He's a two-time champ, Stanley Cup champion, so he's been there before. He had a very good record career-wise against the Montreal Canadiens. And Dobiš is a rookie, a very good rookie. He's had a good back half to the season, the last 20 games, best goalie in the National Hockey League. And I think I agree with you. He's not only equaled Vasilevskiy's performance, he's probably surpassed it. So if the Canadiens, if this is one of their ifs that they must do, they can check. Now, that's to say that these performances have to continue and the defense has to help out. And I think in particular, you know, there's been the scrums in the crease, which Dobiš has walked away from. But Tampa is doing everything to disrupt him, both crashing into him. And you saw Canadiens players being thrown into Dobiš in game three. And that's what ended up with Deneau getting his nose busted open. But also the mental intimidation. And you saw two players after they scored skate right through the crease. And Dobiš got a penalty. And some fans, some media criticized Dobiš for the penalty. Oh, he's just got to turn the other cheek. He just has to ignore it. Can you imagine, just imagine for a second, what Patrick Waugh, what Carey Price, what Ron Hextall, name the goaltender, that a team after scoring skates through their crease and taunts? Like, why didn't Kucherov get a penalty for taunting, for
unsportsmanlike
right there? Kucherov is, he's been doing a lot of stuff behind the play and getting away with it. Mm-hmm. Dobish, yeah, he showed that he can take care of himself. And after that incident, he was absolutely lights out. He backed it up with his play after that. So Dobish, you can't say enough good things about him. He's been terrific.
Definitely. Finally, we also said that Marty St. Louis was going to need to remain nimble in making adjustments and holding players accountable. Now, John Cooper, we know, is an excellent coach, and he is an analytical coach. He is able to make adjustments in game when need be, and can do them very successfully. Marty doesn't have quite as much experience behind the bench, and I think Marty thinks the game much differently than John Cooper does. But I think we can say that there have been at least a couple of occasions where Marty has made the right adjustments when, or the right decisions, quick decisions when he needed to.
Yeah, I think like some of the other categories we're talking about, there's been some good and some bad, mm-hmm. Or some good and some unfinished or unaddressed, yeah, kind of things. That timeout that Marty St. Louis took in overtime in game one, that allowed his team to score and on the power play. And you know, I think that a lot of people said, you know, it was some sort of strategic adjustment that he made. No, that wasn't it at all. Because Nick Suzuki said, no, he just called us over and asked if we wanted to make any changes. We said no, but it was simply to give his power play the rest so that they could stay out there for the full 2 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Because, and not put the second wave in.
Right, because Marty calculated that, listen, we're not doing much of anything 5-on-5, it's going to be real difficult to get another power play in overtime. This is the game. We have to score here, or it's going to be difficult to win this game. So brilliant move by Marty there, taking the timeout, putting together the Doc Bolduc Texier line. These guys were, the three of them, other than the mistakes that they made, they were invisible. And putting them together and challenging them and supporting them, they came to life in game three. And that was going against the media, who were calling for substitutions. Put in Brendan Gallagher, put in Joe Valeno. And the media were doing it. Where Marty needs to focus some attention is trying to limit Brandon Hagel. They've got to shut him down and shut him up, basically.
Yeah.
And Marty hasn't yet been able to find the adjustment that'll free his top line, because they badly need the top line to win this series. The Canadians are using their speed pretty effectively. Tampa has been undisciplined. They've been showing their age at times, and Marty has to make sure that it's the top line and, by extension, the power play. They've got to take advantage.
It's, you know, I'm pleased that we can go back and audit the things that we said last week that the Canadians would need to do if they had a hope to win this series, and that as we go through each one, there are a lot of positives here. They are doing a number of things right. The question is, can they keep doing those things right? But it's not even just can they keep doing those things right. It's can they keep doing those things right. And I'm not even going to say if. I'm going to say when John Cooper makes adjustments to try to combat those things that they're doing right, that they'll still be able to get around that and still be successful. That's going to be the real key for the second half of this series, is still being able to adjust after Cooper makes adjustments.
And nothing's static in the playoffs. You make an adjustment and it's successful. You got to be thinking proactively, how do I make the next adjustment?
Right.
When the opposing bench counters. And again, we want to reiterate how close this series has been. I said it, Tampa could be up 2-1. The Canadians could be up 3-0. Tampa could be up 3. It's been three very close games, three overtime games. And Marty said today, quote, we could be up 3-0 or we could be down 3-0. Mm-hmm. That's just how close this series has been.
I think it's going to continue to be that way down the stretch. We'll see. So let's turn the tables to you now. Let's ask you our Canadians connection question of the week. What do you think has been the biggest reason that the Canadians are leading the series right now? It's a two-parter, actually. What do you think has been the biggest reason the Canadians are leading this series right now, and what concerns you the most? So goes right along with our topic for this week. What's working and what's not? What is the biggest reason that they are leading the series, and what concerns you the most for the remainder of the series? We want you to send us your replies. There's a number of ways you can do that. You can text it to us. Our Rocket Sports text line is 585-3-ROCKET. Again, that's 585-3-ROCKET. You can leave us a comment on Spotify if that is how you are listening to our show. You can leave us a comment on YouTube if you are watching the audio version of the podcast on YouTube. You can hit us up on social media, either in the replies or our DMs, at Habs Connection on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Whatever the case may be, just send us your replies. Let us know. We're going to pick the best responses, read them out on next week's show. And I think some of those answers could be just about as exciting as what the rest of the series promises to be. All right, we're going to take one last break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And when we come back on the other side, we've got some, it's time to let you have your say. We've got some responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week. We've got some answers and results from some polls we put out for all of you. And we're going to get you ready for what's coming up this week with the Montreal Canadiens playoff series. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
No sport flips faster than hockey. One power play, a goalie pulled with 2 minutes left, and everything changes. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, is built for that kind of chaos, with live betting from puck drop to the final buzzer. And DraftKings has your back with early exit protection. If you place a pre-game player prop bet, and your player starts the game but leaves in the first period due to injury and doesn't return, you'll get your bet back in cash. No bonus bets, no opt-in, just real protection when injuries happen early. New sportsbook customers bet just $5, and if your bet wins, you'll get $300 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN so you're ready for the moment. That's code THPN. Turn $5 into $300 in bonus bets if your bet wins. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, wager tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 plus in most states. Void in Ontario. Restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive bonus bets which expire in 7 days. Minimum odds required. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/audio. Limited time offer. Copyright 2026. NHL. All rights reserved.
And welcome back to episode 397 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, if you're enjoying this episode, make sure you hit subscribe. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. We are here each and every week, all year long, 52 weeks of the year, not just during hockey season. So be sure you are subscribed. Also, if you are in a generous mood and have a second and can do two quick things for us. First of all, if you are on YouTube or Apple or Spotify or any platform that allows you to leave a review, just hit that like button, leave a five-star review. That really helps us out. Also, tap the share button and just share this episode with your favorite social media channels. It's super quick, easy to do, and it really goes a long way towards helping us raise our awareness of the Canadians Connection podcast as we approach 400 episodes, just a few weeks away from it. We've got a pretty sizable and loyal audience, and we just want to keep growing it as we have over all of these years. Don't forget also to send us in your Canadians Connection question of the week response. The question for you this week is, what's been the biggest reason the Canadians are leading this series right now? And what concerns you the most? Last week, however, we asked, what's the biggest advantage the Canadians have in this matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning? And so we asked that question, and at P. Moran Fidelt replied to us on YouTube. He said, the biggest advantages the Canadians have are their youth and speed. As long as they stay away from the scraps and the penalty box, they will wear down Tampa Bay. So, yes, they have the youth and the speed. They do have that. They're not quite staying away from the scraps and the penalty box. But
I think to a certain extent, they are wearing down Tampa, yes, particularly with their speed.
Yes. So I think that was a great response. Good answer. And we'll see how the rest of the series goes. Thank you for your response. We always appreciate those. Now, Rick, I'm going to turn this over to you. We had a couple of polls on our YouTube channel this week on the posts tab, and we had some interesting responses to those polls.
Yeah. The first question, poll question, was what matters most in the Habs series versus Tampa Bay? And where do you give Montreal the edge? And then the categories. So 43% think that special teams matter most. Experience, 29%. Goaltending, 14%. And physicality, 14%.
So most of you believe that special teams matters the most in this series. Special teams and experience. That's interesting. And there was a second poll that we put out this week. It was a real simple one. Do you believe the Canadians can upset Tampa Bay?
Now, Canadians fans are confident, feeling confident, and 93% said yes, that the Canadians can upset the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, they're on their way right now, leading the series 2-1. Keep an eye on our YouTube channel on the post tab. We'll try to put out some more polls this week if you'd like to participate in those. You can find our YouTube channel at insidethecanadians.com. But in the meantime, we've got more playoff hockey to consume. Starting Sunday night, game 4 taking place, of course, again in Montreal. That's Tampa Bay versus Montreal Sunday evening. Then game 5, we know this has to go to at least a game 5. The series returns to Tampa Bay for game 5 on Wednesday, April 29th. If Tampa pulls out a victory somewhere in there, then a game 6 would be necessary. If that is necessary, that will be back in Montreal on Friday, May 1st. So we've got at least 2 games this week. Maybe 3. before our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast, which is Saturday, May 2nd. It's May next week already. Can you believe it?
And we hope to see Mr. Saturday Evening on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night. One of those nights.
One of those nights. Let's hope Cole Caulfield can get into playoff form sooner rather than later here. We certainly hope that you are going to enjoy the excitement of the playoffs just as much as we have been. We thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us to catch up on the week that was for the Montreal Canadiens. We look forward to seeing you back here again next week for another episode of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.